ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So first of all, I would like to welcome all the devotees and guests who have come for this evening today on the occasion of Sri Ram Navami to celebrate the holy appearance of Lord Ramchandra. We celebrated the Abhishek in the afternoon, I believe. And now we are having the program of dancing and feasting together. I am very thankful to the temple devotees that they have called me here to speak. Although I am unqualified, but by their mercy I will try to repeat whatever I have heard from them and the previous acharyas. So, I will be speaking on some aspects of Ramayana. As living entities who are encaged in this prison house of material world, we are always suffering from miseries of this material world. And whenever we want to get out of this material world, Maya forcibly keeps us inside. And the forces of Maya from within and without are very powerful. We cannot just challenge Maya on our own. It is impossible. Lord Sri Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivihi Esha Gunamai. That means, he is saying, my energy is Daivi. It is beyond the comprehension of anyone in this material world. And it is Mama Maya Duratya. It is impossible to overcome. Not even Lord Brahma. No one can overcome this. But only He can subdue. Lord Krishna, He knows how to subdue Maya because that is His energy. So therefore, the Lord comes again and again in this material world so that He can help us get out of this material world, the prison house, where we are suffering constantly. Without our desire to suffer, we are still suffering. We do not want to suffer. We always want to make all the possible arrangements so that we never suffer. But nonetheless, whatever arrangements you have made, you will still suffer. That is the law of material nature. Full of miseries, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, He comes for 5 reasons why He comes into the material world. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. Whenever there is a decline in religion, that is the first reason, and there is predominant rise of irreligion, and then paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yoge yoge. So He comes to save the sadhus or to deliver the sadhus, the devotees. And also, He comes to kill or destroy the miscreants, the demonic tendencies, and also to establish the religious principles. These are the 5 main reasons, Bhagavad Gita says, why the Lord appears millennium after millennium. There are of course internal reasons why He appears in a particular shape and form at various times. And those internal reasons we understand from the acharyas. Amongst all the possible forms which the Lord takes, these 2 particular forms are very attractive. Of course all the forms of the Lord are very, very attractive. He is all attractive personality. But still, amongst that also, when he comes as Ram and Krishna, he is most attractive. If you see today, in India and all over the world, the most powerful presentations everywhere are from Ramayana and Lord Krishna's pastimes. They go on. Wherever they are enacted, people get attracted to them. Many years back when this Ramayana serial came, all the streets would become empty when that episode would be going on. So much attractive. It's not that people are not heard or read about Ramayana, but it's so attractive, it is so naturally attractive to the heart that people just shut everything. Even today, if any episode of Ramayana is being shown, everyone gets glued to that episode, whether it is on the stage or on the television, wherever you are. So very, very attractive and sweet pastimes. So when he comes as Krishna, he declares himself, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says so. Aham Bija Pradha Pita. I am the seed-giving father of everyone. And therefore, all of you need to surrender to me. And he manipulates. He very clearly manipulates the laws of material nature. He shows that he is not subjected to any laws of material nature. He is beyond them. When he wants, he can cover the sun. When he wants, he can lift a hill. When he wants, he calls all his Brijvasi friends, takes them to Yamuna and shows them the whole spiritual world. Anything he wants. And he is doing it. That is very attractive. But particularly when he comes as Lord Ram, that time he subjects himself to the will of Providence. He shows himself as a helpless human being who is subjected to all the kinds of ups and downs of life. And therefore, sometimes it is seen that Ramayana is more powerful in India. It's very popular. It's very attractive because he shows how in difficult situation a person should behave. He should carry himself. There is an ideal example set by him for all time to come. This is the particular purpose of the advent of Lord Ram. And this Ramayana, because it is so popular, it has been translated in so many languages. And beautifully translated. It's the poetic nature of it is kept constant in all the languages. And it is said that this particular Ramayana, which is available with us, is of 24,000 verses. But this is so popular, Lord Ram's Leelas are so popular, that in Brahmaloka, it is 100 crore verses. So they can go on singing, because it is unlimited, it is so sweet. So Lord Ram's pastimes are told in this particular form of Ramayana. And there is an episode where the original writer of Ramayana, Valmiki Muni, he was sitting with his disciples in his ashram and he was contemplating about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that time he had a particular question in his heart. And as ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narad Muni, who was his guru, who happens to be the guru of most of the acharyas, the original acharyas, great devotees, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, everyone, you name them and they are Narada's disciple. So this powerful acharya, he descends there in his ashram. Immediately, Valmiki Muni with all his disciples, they get up and they offer him a proper seat, worship him. And then, after worshipping and some kind of exchange, Valmiki Muni asks him a question. I want to know, you travel all over the world and you are knower of everything past, present and future. I would like to know from you, who is that personality in the world today who is most virtuous, whose character is spotless, he is self-controlled, he is most powerful, and he is most beautiful. And his power is such that he can subdue even the demigods. If his wrath comes, the demigods should fear. At the same time, he is very, very virtuous. He is not corrupted by the influence of power. He is humble, he is forgiving, he gives shelter to everyone. So he describes all these virtues. So he says, I want to know of that personality. Is there anyone like this in the world today? And then Narad Muni, in a nutshell, describes that in the dynasty of Ikshvaku, there is this son of Maharaj Dasarath, whose name is Ramchandra. And he is the only person who fits your description. And then he, in a nutshell, gives the whole Ramayana. Till this is happening at around time when Lord Ramchandra has already killed Ravan and he has come back to Ayodhya and is ruling. So there Narad Muni says, and now he is going to rule for 11,000 years. And during his tenure as a king, this prosperity of this earth will be so much that it will be better than Satya Yuga. There will be no one who will be ever diseased. There will be no one who will have any mental anguish. No person will die before his father. No person will drown. So many benedictions he gives. And he says, this is Ram. In fact, the kings who are ruling this earth under his sovereignty as an emperor, they will be much, much more powerful than their ancestors. Hundreds and hundreds of times more powerful and righteous than their ancestors. So this is Ram Rajya, what everyone talks about. They want Ram Rajya. So in this way, Narad Muni describes this, and Valmiki Muni is very happy to hear this and starts contemplating on it. And after Narad Muni goes away, he along with his chief disciple Bharadwaj Muni, he goes to the river Tamasa, which was just close by to river Ganga, to take bath. And all his disciples are with him. And Bharadwaj Muni is offering him various things for taking bath. And he is sitting there thinking of taking bath. In the meantime, he sees a pair of cranes, beautiful birds, a male and female. They are coming, they are enjoying, they are happy, they are making delightful sounds. They are very, very happy, enjoying each other's company. And they are in the passion of conjugal love with each other. At that time, when he is very happily looking at this scene, he is very happy in the heart to observe this. Suddenly, a hunter comes from behind. This hunter was of Nishadha race. He comes and shoots an arrow at the male bird. And the male bird, he just falls down dead, completely covered with blood. His wings are flapping. He's in agony. And the female crane, she is just wailing, shouting. She's pitifully crying. And this particular scene, which was just now a beautiful scene, delightful scene, has suddenly turned into a very, very tragic event. And that immediately brings out a very powerful emotion from the pure heart of Valmiki. From his mouth, immediately a curse comes out. And he curses the hunter, that I curse you, that in the happy occasion of union with his female, this bird has been shot by you. May you never get any happiness ever for endless years. And this particular statement, when it comes out from his mouth, lips, because he's a pure-hearted Vaishnava, This curse also comes in a very poetic form, with four lines each and eight words in each line. And as soon as the curse is told, he immediately feels very morose. That why did I curse? This is a common happening in the material world. These things do happen. That there is something wonderful going on and suddenly everything collapses. It's common to all of us. We know everything is happening like this. That suddenly things are going nice and everything drops to the most miserable situations. So he was wondering, why did I curse so strongly to this hunter? There must be some will of providence. And he tells his chief disciple Bharadwaj Muni that you please make sure that this particular format which I have told you is preserved and it is propagated as a poetry and nothing else. And Bharadwaj Muni, he was a Shrutidhar, he said, Gurudev, I have already memorized this, so do not worry, I have already done the needful. After that he takes bath, goes back to his ashram and starts contemplating again, why did I say this? In the meantime, Lord Brahma comes there. Lord Brahma comes, and as soon as they see that Lord Brahma is coming on his own, all of them get up, offer him a proper seat, worship him with paraphernalia. And then, again, Valmiki Muni is in the same morose or grief-stricken mood. And he's again repeating the same thing. The verse is repeated by his lips. And he's saying, why did I do it? Why did I do it? I should not have done it. And Brahma smiles. He says, just give up this grief. This is all ordained by me. I have done this because I have a purpose behind it. And then he explains the purpose to Valmiki Muni. He says, I did this because I want you to write the whole history of Lord Ramchandra's life in the same format, with the same mood, Karuna Rasa, tragic event, that everything is going wonderfully and suddenly everything is very, very tragic. So this whole theme of Ramayana is basically one of tragedy. It is Karuna. It's very, very, you can say, it gives a lot of pain to the heart when you hear such a thing. But in the spiritual life or in the spiritual world, this pain is considered as one of the highest ecstasies. In fact, we were recently in South India and His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was telling us how the devotees of the Lord, they get so absorbed in the leelas of Lord Ram, they also feel so much pain. That this great devotee, Maharaj Kulashekhar, when he was reading Ramayana, he came across the pastime of Shurpanakha. And all of you know that Shurpanakha, she was being teased by Ram and Lakshman, saying that you marry him, and he would say, you marry him. So she was getting very angry, upset, and ultimately she tried to harm Mother Sita. At that time, Lakshman cuts off her nose and ears. And because of that, she wants revenge. So she goes to her brothers, Khar and Dushan, who were also cousin brothers of Ravana. And when Khar Dushan send 14 people, big bodyguards, Rakshasa bodyguards, to capture Ram and Lakshman, Ram with a single arrow cuts off all the heads of 14 people. So seeing this, Shurpanakha gets frightened. She understands this person is not ordinary. And she goes back and tells the whole thing to Khar and Dushan. So Khar Dushan comes back with an army of 14,000 Rakshasas, not one or two. So there is Khar and Dushan who are very, very powerful. And 14,000 Rakshasas come. And here Maharaj Kulashekhar is reading this, or he is hearing from his priest. And as soon as he hears this, he is a Kshatriya. He feels so much pain that how can this happen? My Lord Ram How can he fight alone with so many people? I must go and assist him. So immediately he orders all his people, saying that you are arrange the army in such a way that we can go and fight with this 14,000 Rakshasas. And he actually marches. The whole march is going on. But the ministers were very clever. So they had already sent four people ahead. And they started coming from the opposite direction. So when they were coming, Maharaj Kulashekar met them in the way. He said, what happened? Where are you coming from? So they said, we are just coming from Nashik. Panchavati. We are coming from there, where Lord Ram has single-handedly, within 1 hour, he has finished all the 14,000 Rakshasas. So do not worry. All glories to Lord Ramchandra. So he was very happy. Yes, my Lord is like this. And he comes back. And from that day on, Maharaj Kulashekar was never told any story which was, arousing this kind of emotion, painful emotion. He was told all nice stories of Balakanda from Ramayana. How Lord Ram is moving around, how his ankle bells are tinkling, and how Dashrath is happy. All those things are told. And Maharaj Kulashekar was very happy to hear this. And the priest knew how to tell the stories. One day, unfortunately, he fell sick. And then, his son came to recite. But he didn't know this trick. So he started narrating Ramayana as it is. So he was narrating. And then, the scene came that there is a fighting between Lord Ram and Ravan. And Mother Sita is kidnapped. So hearing this pastime, Maharaj Kulashekar, he again got up. He stopped the katha and said, let's go. So again, he is marching with his soldiers. And he is coming all the way to the seashore. And in the sea, they are all stopped because there is no setu now. Lord Ramchandra had built that setu bridge, but it is drowned now. So there was no setu. They couldn't cross. But then he was so eager to fight for Lord Ram, and he couldn't just tolerate it. How can Mother Sita be kidnapped? It's impossible. No, I will not allow this. So he's just marching into the sea. He's coming up to his chest, up to the neck. Slowly he's drowning, but he's going still with his sword in his hand. Ultimately what is seen is only the sword. And he's still marching. His nose is getting buried under the water. So in this way, when all the soldiers fell back, Lord Ramchandra himself had to come back. He came through the sea with Mother Sita. He said, don't worry, I have already brought her back. So in this way, Maharaj Kulashekar was happy and he came back. But we can see that this sorrowful story of Ramayana, it arouses such a kind of emotion in a devotee's heart that it is actually a spiritual ecstasy. In fact, Shukadeva Goswami, he describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam why Lord Ramchandra did all these things. He said, many lessons we can learn from Ramayana. One of the lessons, he says, is that we should understand that mothers, the ladies, should be always protected. They should be never left alone. In fact, the Manusmriti tells that they should be protected by the father in their childhood, in the young age by the husband, in the old age by their sons. But they should never be given that independence of living alone, even if they want it, because their mentality is like children's. They are likely to be exploited by wicked people. This is one lesson, he says, we should learn. Second, when you get attached to a woman, what happens to you? This is what Lord Ramchandra wanted to show. That if you get attached, you will suffer. And the last thing he said, beyond that, actually Lord Ramchandra wanted to enjoy the rasa of separation from Mother Sita. Vipralamba bhav. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always advocated this, that we serve in Vipralamba bhav, in a separation. One of our great acharyas, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he prayed at the site, a holy site of Kurukshetra, that I worship this place of Kurukshetra even better or more than Vrindavan. He says, because in Vrindavan, there was always a Sambhoga Leela, that means Radharani would always meet Lord Sri Krishna. But here, there is so much expectation from Radharani to meet Krishna. And that expectation was completely destroyed because she could not meet him. What she saw was there was Narayan. It was not the same Shamsundar Krishna. So there was a expectation, too much expectation of meeting, and there was too much separation. So he says, I worship this place because there is this pain, spiritual pain of separation. So in this way, we can see that these are not ordinary painful stories. They have a lot of meaning to a devotee's life. A devotee relishes this in a different mood. He learns so much from Ramayana. Each and every activity of Lord Ram is so pleasing to the heart, his behavior, how we should behave in this material world according to the Varnashram Dharma. This is what Lord Ramchandra wanted to show. And that is why he came and subjected himself to all these painful situations as if he was a pawn in the hands of Providence, even though he is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why did he do this? Because he loves us. That's a simple answer. Because he has so much love for all the living entities that he wants to show them what is the right path. And for showing that right path, he is ready to go through all this pain. It is not that he is acting it out. He is actually feeling this pain. Lord Ramchandra, when he comes, when Sita is kidnapped, he is actually feeling the pain. Even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can control the whole universe, he can destroy the whole universe, he can create another innumerable universes, he can do all these things. But still, at that point of time, he is going through that painful event. So therefore, another story actually I remember of a devotee who is so aggrieved by this painful episodes of Ramayana is in the Chaitanya Leela. There is this devotee, a Brahmana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets him when he was in the South India tour. And there, this Brahman invites him for lunch. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to his house. And this Brahman is crying. He's constantly crying. He says, I have one question. How can the consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead be touched by a demon like Ravan? I cannot accept this. I'm going to fast till death. I'm not going to survive. I cannot just accept this. It is impossible for me to bear the fact that somebody like Ravan, who's so wicked, who's so rascal, useless, he can touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead's consort. It is not possible. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually explained him, it is not so. Do not worry. Even before Ravana could plan that he would kidnap Sita, he had already handed over the real Sita to Agni. And it was a fake Sita who was being carried away by Ravana. So he was somewhat pacified, but still he was thinking, is it true actually? Is he telling me to just to pacify my emotions? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went further down, he found this particular paragraph in one of the scriptures. I forget the name of the scripture. Kurma Puran. In the Kurma Puran, it was very clearly mentioned that how this whole thing happened. That how the real Sita was handed over to Agnidev, and he presented another Sita which was to play the part during that episode. And when Sita was brought back and there was Agni Prariksha, that time he gave that real Sita back. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is actually Lord Ramchandra himself, he is so caring for his devotees. He copies that whole episode and he gives the copy to the Brahmanas and takes the original. and goes back all the way to the brahmana's residence and says, this is the copy. You see, this is the proof. You wanted some proof? This is the proof. Now you eat. So in this way, we can see that the devotees, they actually feel so much of spiritual emotion when they go through the episodes of Ramayana. So today we are very fortunate that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are sitting here to hear some pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. Without his mercy, it would not have been possible. Even though in India, Ram Navami is celebrated. We do go to the temple, but most of it is ritualistic. That okay, there is some holy day and I go and just do my pranams and come back. But this kind of association is only possible because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We are relishing these events, we are sitting together, we are hearing the katha, we are chanting very nice kirtans, and then later on taking wonderful prasad. All these things is only possible because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So by his mercy we are assembled here today. And it is said that today, whenever there is appearance day of the Lord, his mercy is many, many fold. So it is our duty to enthusiastically accept that mercy. We should ever increase our enthusiasm to unlimited degree to absorb his pastimes and to do more service for him, to chant his names much more than what we would do every day otherwise. And in this way, take full benefit of such kind of festivities which are organized by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So today we will go through some stories which are instructive from Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. As I said, when he came as Krishna, he was always showing that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when he comes as Lord Ramchandra, he showed as if he is a human being subjected to all the material world's miseries. And in that situation, how to behave? How to be virtuous? How to take things in a very detached way? How to forgive? And how to tolerate things? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this formula that for the process of devotional service to be completely effective in our lives, we need to have this very, very important principle behind whatever we do in devotional service. And that is of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. That we should be always ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. We should be more humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. Now all these things, when the Lord comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and as Lord Ramchandra, he personifies them. He shows what is the meaning of tolerance. In fact, tolerance means forgiveness. If you can't forgive, that means you are not tolerant. Sometimes we are tolerant. Yeah, I will tolerate. But then, I keep it in my mind and at a particular time, I will take it out. I will give it back. That is not tolerance. Tolerance means forgiveness. It goes together. We tolerate means we are already forgiven, we have forgotten. That is tolerance. That is a Brahmana's tolerance. A Kshatriya's tolerance means he is tolerating all the arrows and all the painful things. He is tolerating. He is very, you can say, he can tolerate, he will not even wince. No problem. That is also tolerance. But that is just so that, just wait, my turn will come. That is a tolerance. But that is not a devotee's tolerance. Devotee's tolerance means based on forgiveness. He forgives and that's why he forgets. And that's how he tolerates all the insults and everything what is going on in our lives. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita the definitions of humility, tolerance, beautiful definitions, amazing definitions. If you just read them, they give you so much respect for Srila Prabhupada. That what is this person? How he has chosen the most perfect words? Like humility. He says, humility means not to have the expectations to be honored by others. That is humility. And tolerance means to be practiced in the art of forgiving. Very, very wonderful definitions. So this is what Lord Ramchandra has showed us. And we will take some episodes. Let us take the episode when Lord Ramchandra has already come back from his Gurukul. And he is already of a marriageable age. And Maharaj Dashrath is so proud of his sons, particularly Lord Ramchandra. He is very proud. He cannot tolerate that Lord Ramchandra is out of his sight for even a moment. He cannot tolerate. He is so attached to him. Lord Ramchandra was very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful means my words are completely, you can say, absolutely insignificant, insufficient. And even the words, all possible words are not enough to describe the beauty of Lord Ram. He was so beautiful and so charming, so attractive, that even the male members got attracted to him. When he went to the forest, all the rishis, they wanted to marry him. You can imagine his attractiveness. And that time he said, no, when I come as Krishna, that time you come as gopis, so I'll marry you. So you can imagine the beauty of Lord Ramchandra. His face, Valmiki Muni says that he was of a medium height. He was not too tall, not too short. He was a medium height. And broad shoulders, the neck like a conch shell. His eyes were like lotus. Lips were like bimba fruit. Beautiful descriptions. Vest was like a lion. And when he would walk, his gait was like an elephant. So he would walk so confidently that it would strike the terror in the enemy's heart. So that is the description of Lord Ram. So naturally, Maharaj Dashrath was so attracted. She would not let him be alone. And he was deciding already that we should get him married. Naturally, every father thinks like this. That my son or my daughter, now I should get them married. So he is consulting his Guru, Vasishtha Muni and others. And at that time, suddenly Vishwamitra Muni comes. And Vishwamitra Muni, he asks, when he was asked, what do you want from my side? How can I serve you? He said, just give me your two sons, Ram and Lakshman. I want to take them because there are many Rakshasas who are disrupting our yagyas. The story is long, but we'll cut it short. So then, somehow, after Vasishtha convinces Maharaj Dashrath, he says, okay, let them go. And then they go, kill all the Rakshasas, attend the Swayamvara of Mother Sita, and he not only lifts the bow, the Shiva Dhanusha, but also breaks it. And thus he wins the hand of Mother Sita. Then all the four brothers get married to the four sisters, and then they come back. And after some time again, Maharaj Dashrath is thinking, yes, now I'm old, and I want to see my son as a king. So immediately, as soon as his thought comes, he calls all the great rishis and gives them proposal. I want to coronate my son Ramachandra as the king. And then he describes his qualities, how he is so obedient, so wonderful, how he is loved by each and every person in Ayodhya and all over the world. He is so virtuous, so he is fit to be the king. Now I am of an age of retirement. I should go to the forest with my wives and take vanaprastha. So immediately everyone approves. Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful. Jai ho, jai ho. They are very happy. And then he calls all possible rishi, munis. Everyone is so happy to hear this. All the citizens are so happy. They immediately start celebrating. Okay, tomorrow is the Muhurat. We will be seeing Ramchandra as the king of Ayodhya. So happy. It is a wonderful occasion. The whole Ayodhya gets completely transformed into a complete festival mood. There are everywhere, you know, there are mango trees and mango leaves and banana trees, and every street is being sprinkled by elephants who are carrying scented water, and various people are dancing, singing. It's a wonderful occasion. Everyone is so happy because Lord Ramchandra was so much loved by everyone. And at that time, there was one person who was very unhappy. Very, very unhappy. She just couldn't tolerate it. How can I tolerate this? That her name was Manthara. She was very, very upset that how can Ramchandra be the king? It should be Bharat, because he is the son of my mistress, Kaikeyi, and she is the favorite wife of Maharaj Dasharatha. So, it is his right. And at that time, Bharat and Shatrughna, they were staying at their maternal grandparents. Manthara, she goes to Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi is decorating herself very nicely. She loved Ram as much as Kaushalya. In fact, sometimes more than Kaushalya. She loved him so much. She was so happy that my son Ram will become the king tomorrow. She is very, very happy. She is decorating herself, putting nice ornaments on herself, putting mehndi, all those things she is doing. She is sitting in her own quarters. And Manthara comes and she says, "What are you doing?" So she says, "You have not heard that my son Ram is going to become king tomorrow. So we are all very happy. I am decorating myself. Why don't you join?" And Manthara said, "You foolish lady, I have seen you since very childhood. I have brought you up, but you do not have much intelligence." Somehow or other, her wicked heart, she starts pouring out to Kaikeyi. And this is, we have to learn from this, the power of wicked association. There is a power of good association and there is power of wicked association. In the material world, this power of wicked association completely drags us down to unimaginable, you can say, downfalls. We cannot imagine we can go to that low grade, but it happens with the association. So Manthara convinces some or other that you are the chief queen of Maharaj Dasharatha and you should be the Rajmata. You cannot be the servant of Rajmata, because as soon as Ram becomes the king, Kaushalya will become the Rajmata and you will become her dasi, a servant. This is intolerable. And Bharat is so qualified. You should act for this slowly by the association, because she is giving what is called as submissive oral reception. And she's not liking it. But she says, okay, tell me what more. So she is telling more and more and poisoning more and more. And in this way, at last Kaikeyi was completely convinced that what she is saying is true. Yes, this is it. This is what I should do. And immediately, she tells her to tell her the plan. She says, "What shall I do? I do not know." And Manthara reminds her that you had asked for two boons from Maharaj Dasharatha. Because once upon a time, Maharaj Dasharatha was fighting a battle. And in that battle, somehow he got wounded. And his chariot driver was killed. At that time, Kaikeyi was with him. And she was a Kshatrani. She was a daughter of a Kshatriya. So she knew how to, you know, rein the horses. So she took the chariot far away and somehow tended to him and brought him back to consciousness. So because he was saved by her grace, he had said, "I would like to give you any boons, two boons, whatever you ask." At that time she had said, "I do not need anything. I'll ask when I want." And then this was told to her that you have forgotten that you had asked those two boons. Please ask them today. What are those two boons? One is that you must ask Bharat to be the king and not Ram. But that is not sufficient, because people love Ram, so they might revolt. So make sure that Ram goes to the forest. So the second boon is, banish Ram to the forest for 14 years. So in the meantime, 14 years is enough time to make sure that everything goes okay in the kingdom and Bharat is as popular as Ram. When the king comes to the quarters of Kaikeyi, she is lying on the floor with loose hair, dirty clothes. She has no auspicious signs on her body. She is looking very inauspicious. And Maharaj Dasaras asks her, what is wrong with you? What has happened? Such an important occasion of our son becoming the king tomorrow, and you are in such a mood? Is there any difficulty? Can I help you? And immediately she asked for those two boons. And Maharaj Dasarath, because he was coming in the dynasty of Maharaj Raghu, they were famous, they were taught, they were Rajarshis, that in the Raghukula, the dynasty of Maharaj Raghu, you may lose your life, but you should not lose the value of your words. So therefore, he was completely helpless. He was asking her, pleading her, that please, ask for anything else but this. You loved Ram so much, what has happened to you? But she did not go back on her words. She had become cruel because of cruel association. We all become like that. When we associate with such people, our heart becomes hard-hearted. So she did not relent. And at that time, because Maharaj Dasarath could not speak, he could not speak, he was so ashamed. All the splendor of his body just went off. He became completely bereft of all possible good signs on his body. He became diseased. And then outside, there's a different funfair going on. People are happy, chanting. They're waiting for Lord Ram. And Lord Ram is ready, getting ready. So you can imagine the scene, that here is a prince who's going to become a king. He's ready, he's happy. All his brothers are congratulating him. All ladies in the palace, they are beautifully decorated. They are all happy. The whole praja, kingdom is happy. Everyone is waiting. When will Lord Ram come to give his darshan to us? In this occasion, he is called by Dasarath, by Kaikeyi. And when he comes there, Dasarath cannot speak. He just can't speak. Because he cannot say these words to Lord Ramchandra. And Kaikeyi, on his behalf, she says, he is hesitating to tell you, but I will tell you. This is what he wants. That you should go to the forest and leave the kingdom for Bharat. This is his desire. And what does Lord Ram reply? It's a wonderful thing. He did not even change a single line of his face. He just said, that's it? That is enough? Is that enough to satisfy both of you? So Kaikeyi said, yes, that is enough. And immediately, without even considering any further thing, oh, what has happened, when Dasarath is actually telling him, ki, don't listen to this lady. You please revolt. Dethrone me and become the king. I am telling you, this is my order. No? He said, you have given your word to your wife and your word is my word. It is my order. I am going to carry it out. And with complete detachment, he just gave up right there the whole ceremony, everything, went to the quarters back, took out all his jewelries and started wearing the tree box. And in this way, he showed how to be detached, completely detached. He just left. And while leaving also, he knew that whole Ayodhyavasi, all the Ayodhyavasis, they are so dear to him. And they are going to follow him. And sure enough, they are all following him. They said, if you go to the forest, we will also come to the forest. And they are quite a long distance up to the forest. They are following him. And Sumantra and all the ministers, soldiers, when they came and it was dark in the night, all of them slept. And early morning, Lord Ramchandra was bound to his duty as the son of his father. He just left all of them along with Sumantra, who was the minister. And it's a long story, but then they somehow reach the banks of Ganga. He reached the ashram of Bharadwaj Muni, and on his instruction, they proceed towards Chitrakoot. And at that point, of course, they were joined in between by Maharaj Guha, who was the Nishad king. Lord Ramchandra, he tells Sumantra to go back. That's a beautiful description, that Sumantra comes back. When he's coming back, he is not at all enthused to enter Ayodhya, because he says, how can I go back? People are going to ask me, where is Lord Ram? Why have you come without him? Still, as a matter of duty, he enters the city and finds the whole city completely cheerless. There is no sign of happiness. It is completely engulfed by sorrow. Enters the palace, there is no one talking. And Maharaj Dasharath, as soon as he sees Sumantra without Ram, he faints, he falls unconscious. And seeing him unconscious, Mother Kaushalya comes there, somehow revives him, and requests him to ask at least Sumantra, what is the whereabout of Ram? And there, in that circumstance, we also see how Lord Ramchandra was so bound to the virtues. He had sent a message back with Sumantra. Dasharatha Maharaj asks him, is there any message from my son? He says, yes, there is a message from your son. And then with tears in his eyes, he starts describing the message of Lord Ramchandra. He says, that virtuous prince of yours, Ram, he has given his message with a bowed down head, folded palms, that I worship the lotus feet of my father, who is a self-realized devotee. And all glories to his lotus feet on his order, on whose order I have come to the forest. And tell my mother Kaushalya that she should treat him, that is my father, just like a deity. She should worship him as a deity. And she should be constantly worshipping his lotus feet. Tell my brother Bharat. Tell all the ladies in the palace that they should be always married to virtue and do their righteous religious principles. To Kaushala, he tells one more thing which is very important. He says, especially she should take care of Kaikeyi. And treat her as her superior, because she is dear to her husband. So this is what is Lord Ramchandra is giving message to Kaushalya. And then he says to Bharat, tell him, first of all, Kaushalya, Mother Kaushalya should treat him not as her son or subordinate, but as the king. Even though he is young in his age, but still, because he is sitting on the throne, he is due all the same respect as a king. So treat him as a king. And to Bharat he says, please treat your father as the king, even though because of old age he is not the king anymore. But you run this kingdom under his order as his representative, and he should be the king. And also, treat my mother as your own mother. And in this way, various messages, beautiful messages he gives. And Sumantra retires. In this way, we can see that Lord Ramchandra, even the most difficult and trying circumstances, he has not lost his discrimination of what is right and what is wrong. In fact, all the time, even Kaikeyi, when she is acting so cruelly towards Lord Ram, he is still talking to her, treating to her as his own mother, completely forgetting what she is doing. And in this way we can see that he is actually enacting these virtues of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna. And then when he goes to the forest, what does he do? Taking that incident as a boon, he serves all the sadhus. So he shows us that service to the sadhus is so important. In fact, our Yuga Dharma, we say it is Harayanama Eva Kevalam. But it has to be combined with Vaishnava Seva, Sadhu Seva. It is not alone. Holy name and service to the Vaishnavas. In fact, one very nice statement of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he says, if you chant the holy names but do not serve the Vaishnavas, be sure that the holy name will remain an austerity throughout your life. It will never become a pleasure. We want to chant with pleasure, correct? We want to chant with happiness. But it will remain an austerity if we do not apply the second principle of Vaishnava Seva. So that also Lord Ram was showing, that how to serve the Vaishnavas. He took all the risk of his life. He risked his own life, risked his wife's life and brother's life. And somehow or other, he made the whole Dandakaranya, all the forest, free of Rakshasas. That was his duty. And he loved all his devotees so much. Bibhishan was his devotee. And he had promised him that I will make you the king of Lanka. And Bibhishan, when he was seen by Ravana towards the end of the battle, he was so furious. He took out the most powerful weapon and shot at Bibhishan just to kill him. And it came so suddenly that there is no way Bibhishan can be saved. And at that time, what does Lord Ramchandra do? He goes in front of Bibhishan and accepts the weapon on his own body. Bibhishan could not understand why the Lord has done this. And there, Lord says, because you have surrendered to me, it is my duty to protect you. In fact, even Ravana comes just now and surrenders to me and asks for forgiveness, I will give him complete shelter. So this is the Lord. So in this way we can see Ramayana is of unlimited stories, wonderful, very instructive stories. And the more we read, Valmiki Muni says, for various categories of people to read various pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, he says, those who want sons, they should read the Balakanda. Those who want progeny. Those who want to conquer their enemies, they should read the Yuddha Kand. That means battle with Ravana. Those who want to mitigate their sufferings, they should read the Aranya Kand, because Aranya Kand is full of all messages from various rishis and how he himself carries through it. Like that, various. And ultimate benediction is actually the attainment, which is our goal of life, attainment of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we will stop here. I'm very thankful to all of you for giving a very patient hearing to these wonderful pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And now we will have kirtan and thereafter prasadam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Prabhu Shri Ram Chandra ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai.